Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and coming soon, Nintendo announces an F-Zero reboot like a week after they start selling copies in stores. And with me, I have...
Can we please end this New Game Plus timeline already? These difficulty spikes suck!
And...
Oh, what was it? Couch Chickens on Tubi now! Yes! I could probably watch this weird-ass show from way back then and then realize that, man, this is a fucked-up show.
I enjoyed it in my youth, yes. Yeah.
Takes a long drag off a cigarette. There's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Now, Bobby said, why would question logic? But now I remember, why the fucking logic of a show where there's a red guy who's, well, they can't call him the devil, but he's a red guy with a big, red guy with his ass on. With his ass out, and parents who, well, we can't see the top half.
There is no logic to be found. It's in the theme song. Mama had a chicken. Mama had a cow. Dad was proud. He didn't care how. Although I'm sure there was some kind of tomfoolery afoot.
You know, now that I think about it, I wonder if Red Guy is the reason why I grew up loving cheeks.
And also, I am Liesl too. Which, by the way, the theme song performed by this band called April March. Reason why I'd heard it before because I remember one song that played on the end credits of Death Proof called Chick Magnet. He called Chick Magnet. Which, by the way, Death Proof, not my favorite Tarantino movie. This on the lower tier. Not my favorite. Just saying, but we'll say I like the latter half more than the beginning. Just saying.
That's one of those ones I need to watch.
I will say like the Grindhouse version, the shortened version is kind of better because it's not as long. I mean, the other version is, well, it's longer. So it's, we know what happened with the movie and all. It didn't do well. They sell them separately. Blah blah blah. All that shit.
That was a mess. I remember it quite vividly. It just sort of came and went because it was a weird rollout. Nobody knew what to do with it. Also, it was like 2007, and it was a weird time for everyone.
Yeah.
2007. I think I was just replaying Kingdom Hearts 2 that year. But this isn't a Kingdom Hearts / Death Proof / Cow and Chicken podcast. Yet. This is us at Decibel Boost, back at it again, episode 432. How's everyone's weeks / Mother's Days been going?
It's been rough. I will keep specifics to myself because, God, I need a plan for everything. I'm trying my best. Sometimes it's not enough. I can't control it. I'm just... Ugh. I'm trying to find joy in things again, which is not easy to do nowadays, given points in every direction. Just look around you. Everything's terrible. So, we're trying. We are trying. Sometimes we need to take an extra week off because it's slow and we need it, but hopefully there is a silver lining to the very, very, very ominous black clouds. Friday's almost here. Just give me that new Periphery album. I need something to be excited about so bad right now.
Well, there's also that new Ghost in the Shell anime coming out over the summer.
I am excited for that, too, because that's like 2 months away.
You know, speaking of cheeks.
They're really diving into the Masamune Shiro element of that series, and I'm kind of here for it. So I guess I'll just bide my time with more playoff hockey and playoff basketball, because it's fun to watch. But God, I want these games to stop going so late. I don't like being up until 1 in the morning most nights.
Damn. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, Alex, I'm trying to make it out there. Has it been rough the last couple weeks? Yes, but I'm trying to, you know, trying to be all cool and calm and all that shit for trying to look on the brighter side of things. Valve face some shit that I can't control or try to control, but it's out of my hands and all that shit. But yeah, I'm just trying to find joy, whatever I can find. You know, like I mentioned, Count Chicken, and a few movies that I have seen the past weeks. Finally, I saw Marty Supreme, which was on HBO Max, and I'm just gonna say, well, I like it, but I will say, out of all the Softy Brothers, well, I guess Softy movies that I've seen with them, with, you know, Uncut Gems, Good Time, I say Marty Supreme is kind of fine. Like, out of those three, I put that on the low end. You can also pattern with these movies is like, you know, somebody who's ambitious, but kind of a dick, causes chaos everywhere, because he's everywhere for him, for himself, and everyone around him. If you see the movie, you think it'd be some sports movie, but it's not. It's more of like, I want to say, kind of like Good Time, except, you know, instead of crime, it's, this bit of crime, but it's more like, more like him fucking up everybody. And only Tyler Creator, which, okay, I thought he did well in that movie. I think he can act well. Hopefully the next movie, it will be a fluke like The Weeknd was, Tommy's a good acting coach. He probably got one, but Marty Supreme, good movie. Oh yeah, and the score from OPN, which, I mean, it's fine. Not my favorite score out of him, but it's like, it's fine. Yeah, okay, another movie that I finally saw. So, I watched the movie on Crunchyroll recently. You got a movie that is?
What did they add recently? I bet it was Chainsaw Man. It was Chainsaw Man, wasn't it? You know it's Chainsaw Man. I'm always right about Chainsaw Man.
Yes, it's Chainsaw Man.
Yay!
Yes, and all I can say for that movie is, I can say it's 1.5. Okay, that's touching. That's very sweet. Other half, fuck! Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard swerve.
Yeah, like, that's a duel. Oh, it's kind of cute. It's like, fuck me. Yeah, kind of. Generally, we'll do that to you. Also, I will say, it's weird watching Crunchyroll and seeing the Sony logo. I mean, I know Sony owns Crunchyroll, but it's like, okay. Usually, if I see a Sony logo, it'll be either a couple of Spider-Man or some other just one of them. But it's like, okay, this is kind of weird. I mean, did again. Dragon Ball had the Twisted Fox logo on it back when they still doing the shit. But yeah,
we live in strange times. The important thing is we have the Shark Devil. He's basically perfect. Anyway, as for me, first of all, as far as watching new things, I finally pulled the trigger and finished watching the first season of Invincible. They needle drop Run the Jewels like 4 times in that first season. So now that? I'm going to have to keep as a person who grew up in the 2000s, 2010s YouTube, I'm going to have my official counting gag, the Run the Jewelsometer for how many times it happens in this show. But I mean, overall, pretty solid first season of television. I'm going to have to ask, though, is the animation shortcutting going to be just a constant thing?
Yes.
So they just never think to invest more in, like...
Nope.
The fucking... I don't
even watch the show and I know that.
Amazon, I don't get you. Well, okay, maybe I do, penny pinching and all, but... Fucking seriously?
That man did it again. It's Amazon. It's the same. It's the same company that said. Oh, this AI built a show that people love, and then they hate it. Yeah. Or them, or the other shitty does they got that aren't that, you know, that aren't there. But yeah.
Hokuto Shinken. Feel my rage.
Oh, Amazon. On one hand, you got something like Project Hail Mary that's doing breaking games for you. In the other hand, you got the Melania movie.
This landscape is hell. But aside from that, I actually did drive down to my grandma's house for Mother's Day. There was like a big family gathering, but that did mean having to drive by the old childhood house, and it was really weird driving by that place, seeing like what's happened to it. Because driving past and seeing like other people parked in, and that I think it was turned into like a rental unit for like a couple families or whatever. It was really weird. I don't know. Maybe I just have a lot of stuff about my childhood on the brain recently, especially given that you know, that news about the passing of Ted Turner and everything.
Oh yeah.
You know, as far as crazy rich white guys go, Ted Turner was pretty okay. I mean, fuck you for inventing CNN and all, but, like, at the very least, he understood that, like, if you're gonna spend your billions on shit, spending on cool things, like film preservation, and cartoons, and pissing off Vince McMahon for a decade.
Rent-free in that head.
Yeah.
And here's the kicker. In the later years, Ted wasn't paying attention to the wrestling side, like, at all. It was just a one-sided blood feud because Vince McMahon is a petty motherfucker who deserves to rot in hell.
And how. But yeah, that was a weird bit of news. But you know what, Ted? Thank you for all the cartoons and the movies.
Yes.
And of course, Captain Planet, because that means one of the greatest Robot Chicken sketches of all time. Captain Planet!
And of course, Don Cheadle, Captain Planet. Captain Planet, too.
Also, Marvel, never again. Never again.
Never again.
You know what you did, Bill Jemis.
But aside from all that, I don't really have much else to add, so, let's go ahead and move on from this very extended intro to the usual weekly business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, put new tunes in your playlist, all of that fun jazz. So, let's start right up at the top here. So, as you all know, by the end of this month, May 29th, we will be seeing a brand new studio album from the psychedelic prog rock band Elder with Capture Release. Well, no, it's called Through Zero. The new single we have to talk about here is called Capture Release. I misread that, you see. But, you know, we got another pretty beefy song here at about 8-9 minutes or so. So there's going to be a lot of vamping and build-up and atmosphere fleshing out. I mean, the first minute or so was a lot of spacey melodic synthesizers before the full band kind of starts laying down the bedrock of the groove with some light syncopated guitars and drums and kind of a 3-4 sort of thing before we get more fuller distortion courtesy of this kind of bouncy, grooving, galloping riff that, you know, adds a bit more body to that previous looping melody while still maintaining, you know, a nice bedrock for a lot of the super elegant, you know, lead guitar melodies and synths to all soar into the cosmos and all. It's very nice. This is what you call some beautiful songwriting here. I am really looking forward to the full Odyssey at the end of the month.
Seconded. I didn't really know what to expect here, but I dig it. It's kind of Mastodon-ish without actually being Mastodon. It's got prog riffage and arrangement, but also some mid-game thrash groove to it too, with a lot of atmosphere. Yeah. Thumbs up. I dig it.
Alright. Now, moving on to the next track here. We got a tune here courtesy of the producer Floating Points, and it looks like for the first time in a while he's getting his orchestral game on. In this case, he's doing this as part of a collaboration with the San Francisco Ballet Orchestra. like he's doing some kind of touring thing with them, I think. The track is called Falling to Earth, and it is 13 minutes long. So it is definitely a pretty lengthy one. But for the most part, it kind of vamps on a couple general music ideas. So we certainly start off with, you know, very suspenseful orchestral stings of, like, the violins and horns. And, you know, soon segueing into kind of a more characteristic, like, pulse-pounding synth track that kind of drives the tempo. You do hear subtle bits of percussion that kind of build over time. Like, there's this kind of, like, triplet clicking track in the background beneath all the increasingly more elaborate layers of synths, some, you know, bell ringing elements. But it isn't about till about like 5 minutes that more full percussive elements start to seep through. Plenty of you know, that computerized glitching, bleeps and blips, which, wait, is this supposed to be for a ballet? All this sounds like a really intense documentary about outer space. What kind of ballet is soundtracked with this? Like, am I gonna have to watch more ballet? I apologize to this industry. I was not familiar with your game.
It seems like Horror Points haven't really had a future in scoring stuff. In scoring stuff like this. I wonder if done it before. But the last couple minutes where Johnson Cup is just like really this atmospheric sound going is like. Oh, this is nice. This is real nice. Like, yeah, I'm definitely digging this.
All right, now, moving on to the next track. So it's been about 6 years since we last heard an album from the up-and-coming British metalcore band Loathe, with 2020's I Let It In and It Took Everything. Though I suppose 5 years if you count the companion album The Things They Believe that came out the year after. Although that one was more a collection of synthetic ambient compositions. But now, the band has finally announced that they're coming back with a proper new studio album on July 17th titled A Stranger to You. And so we have the lead-off single here called Revenant. So you probably won't be surprised that, well, I mean, if you haven't heard the band's previous singles, let me walk you through this. So the momentum of the song is definitely very breakneck and relentless. Start off with some super low-end chuggy guitars with some offbeat syncopations, with some switch-ups in tempo that kind of increase the pace, you know, double kicks, plenty of elaborate hard-hitting toms with tons of pummeling breaks and patterns. Eventually kind of shifting into this really massive breakdown section towards the end. Of course, the synthetic electronic elements as well as the guitar, you know, breakdowns and leads are all very scratchy, chaotically discordant, and a good deal of it is pretty wild. But I have a bit of a nitpick here. So, yes, I know that with this band, like, those synthetic elements are kind of part of the package. Think something like the shoegazier aspects of Deftones. But, like, I feel like there's a weird amount of that, like, syntheticness to the production in a way that you don't want. Like, perfect example. When I first listened to the track, I thought that the only cymbals that the drums were hitting was the china. Because every cymbal hit had that sort of hiss to it. But I gave it another couple listens, and it turns out that's just the production kind of making all the cymbal hits sound very hissy. If you want a perfect comparison, if you need a song from that last album that I would recommend, my favorite track would be New Faces in the Dark. Listen to the production on that one, and it's a lot more clean, and you'll kind of understand what I mean in comparison to this one. So, I mean, the energy's there, production not my favorite, so it's alright, I suppose. We'll see what the full picture is soon enough.
Well, I will offer the inverse take. I was not expecting to hear that kind of a production to it, especially the more lush, ethereal, atmospheric sections bookending it. Again, I'm not super familiar with this band, but I kind of enjoyed it. It's like having that combination of that sort of, you know, ethereal, you know, synth in the front and the back with the aggressive, heavy chugging in the middle. What is worth production didn't really bother me. Then again, I also don't like Deftones, so take that however you will.
We have some interesting takes here. But moving on to the next track. So, as we all know, we are getting a second studio album this year from the band Converge. June 5th will give us the release of Hum of Hurt. And we now have the second single from that album, Doom in Bloom, a track which overall maintains this very, like, slow, steady tempo that's mainly oriented around, like, this very, like, 6-8 groove. The verses kind of alternate between sort of having relatively thin-sounding, you know, guitar, you know, distortion and progression. It kind of just rides the drum groove as it kick just kind of very aggressively hammers that rhythm, you know, along with the drums, you know, very slowly hitting and kind of pounding out, you know, as they do. And then once you get into the choruses, everything gets a lot more fuller with heavier hits of distortion, you know, the bass and the backing guitars reinforcing all that groove. And of course, just, you know, altogether very, very relentless and hard hitting when it has to be. I think I prefer the earlier single better, but this is also a pretty solid listen, all things considered.
Okay, so, I didn't watch the video for this because, ew, blood. But the song to me is, it's alright, just not my thing, a bit too knuckle-dragging for my taste, for lack of a better term. Like, I just glazed over, you know, Elder, and I didn't really hear much about them before this, so, you know, that's more my taste.
That is perfectly fair. Now, moving on to the next couple of tracks here. Looks like we got some activity brewing in the camp of JPEG Mafia. He's announced a brand new studio album coming out May 21st, which, what exactly would you call a new JPEG Mafia album? How exactly do you, what sort of album title do you come up with that can perfectly encompass his very loud, abrasive, synthetic, sample-driven, and overall experimental kind of rap music? That's a good question.
SoundCloud rap.
No.
I got it. CD! Exclamation point.
We have fun here. So, yeah, Peggy has decided to call his newest record Experimental Rap. Very on the nose there, dude.
Yeah. He's the only rapper that does this type of shit, even though there's more rappers outside of him that does this type of shit. Which, yeah. So anyway, we got two singles. The first thing I'm going to talk about is Baby Girl. This is just him. She's talking against his opponents and critics. Basically, they do all sorts of stuff with a you know, vocal sample and the 808s and of course got lyrics like to turn the light off. You see Thomas Edison, we cooking niggas be beef like venison. Let's see, Drake will take it out about like severance. Practice be slow. They don't still give a good message. Shoot up a school because somebody will mention them. I'm too late for the shovel. I bury them. New relations, but I fucking arrogant too much. I love these hoes, but it be you niggas scaring them. this EDM rock shit, y'all gas. I do that shit on some fair shit. I'm a show because my beats are the heritage. He's doing some things, you know. I mean, basically what I expected him to do, like, it's experimental, yeah. He's still doing his thing. I thought, okay. He still does his thing in there.
Especially with that, you know, whole metal breakdown towards the end.
Yeah, I was not expecting to hear that, especially with those visuals in the video. You all know what they are if you saw the video. If you haven't seen the video, maybe don't watch it at work.
Yeah, so just a heads up, if you see that it looks like it might be disappearing from the playlist, I'm putting it there, obviously, but I think the first time, like, I checked the article that we're drawing from, the link was gone, because I think the video actually got suspended from YouTube. You know, because there's hella naked people in this.
Yeah.
Fucking cheeks hanging out everywhere, so don't be surprised if there's a sudden skip in the playlist. I will, fingers crossed that it doesn't, but you know, you have to be prepared.
Yes, be prepared for the cheeks. All of them.
So, what about this other track we got here?
Okay, so that's track. That's like another single called War Over Land. And yeah, we'll say this. We'll say the visual is something weird, as in a guy walking into a field, looking distraught, and oh, he just shot himself. Damn. Okay, we'll say this. This is we got start off like things the funerals, just the wakes chipping right down. Rip Mike Jackson Johnson, shout out Tice, praise Allah, he's on a 4, beat paper piece, I read about war shit, I'm fucking with the Manili, I'm bored, 216s are killing his door, why is my mind always focused on war, every light is worse because of my lord, every night is, there was me, ain't a god, the lights you pick up is not a car, or the lights not reaching a bar, okay, you know, that's how much of a word that you did that you poor, beat your ass up, you kicking the door, you beat the government out of him, you shoot their corpse, but then that's his fucking stuff, it's heaven. Go to my niggas and my bitch, or the reverend, chop and bleed, let's get our C-sections. You got D, you get D at one bitch, that I don't need heavens, because I will step up to my bitch, look bitch, shit, man, forever. Real. I think I just said the whole song, I don't know. Yeah, I pretty much did, but yeah, I will say, out of all the calls, out of the two songs, I was digging this a lot more, but yeah, I was digging this a lot more. He's on his expectation, but yeah, and okay, and I'm all genius, and okay, thankfully, okay, there's like 25 tracks listed. It's track 19, which it's not the last track, so it works. I don't know.
25, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Anyway, now with those tracks out of the way, let's move on to the next stop on the docket. So, after some ominous teasers and posting here and there, the word is finally confirmed that the electronic duo Boards of Canada will be releasing a brand new studio album May 29th, titled Inferno. So, of course, we have to get some more music out in the ether before then, giving us this kind of combined track here called Intro It / Prophecy at 1,420 megahertz. Dare I ask what the significance of that number is, or are they just drawing numbers out of a hat?
I'm sure it has something to do with some kind of cryptic tease of some kind, but right now I am way too tired to try and figure it out, so yes.
Yeah, oh god, is it going to be something ridiculous like that whole A equals 432 hertz thing with music theory? We're getting off topic. So, as far as this, release single here, you get a bit of, like, arpeggiated, like, 90s computer synths to sort of intro things up before it kind of pulls out into this droning hollow synth that leads into kind of a mix of some nice guitars further segueing us into this kind of, like, ambient trip-hop thing. Plenty of glinchy synths punctuating the rhythm, and this very, very hard to miss, sort of deep voice text to speech program, communicating a lot of ominous messages of, evil computer stuff. You know, it's a higher intelligence compared to, I don't know, whoever's listening, which, I mean, isn't hard. I mean, have you seen me? I'm fucking stupid as bricks. But I mean, honestly, as someone who, you know, actually did eventually do his homework and listen to all of the Boards of Canada stuff, there's a lot of good material in the discography, first of all. And, yeah, this is a pretty interesting turn from what Tomorrow's Harvest was doing. So, let's see what this inferno will rot.
Yeah. Some pretty trippy stuff here. Like, it's taken from the 80s synthwave days and putting their own dark spin on it, complete with an omnipresent voice included, and oh my god, May's going to be a loaded month. I am not ready for it.
It already is a loaded month.
Boy, howdy.
It already is a loaded month. It's going to get even more loaded.
Well, while we, await that eventual pit stop, let's move on to the final track here, which, I see we once again have Charlie XCX on the docket. Thank God, that means I have an excuse to take that fucking Lizzo song off the checklist. I'm sparing us all from that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, We'll get to the critical section of this in a moment, but do go on.
Yeah, so we were talking about it earlier, and Charlie XCX is a fascinating person. Like, I've liked some of the music I've heard from her. Obviously, I really liked Brat, but I'm not 100% sure I'll ever fully get Charlie XCX. Which, I mean, wouldn't be the first time. I mean, there are plenty of things that I like that I'm pretty sure I don't 100% get. Twin Peaks, for example. But she's been recently, you know, doing her whole Charlie XCX somewhat troll posting, possibly maybe sort of thing on the internet, claiming that the dance floor is dead, and now she's making rock music. I've actually even put out a track recently called Rock Music. You know, no subtlety there. You know, Charlie XCX makes rock music, JPEG Mafia makes experimental rap. Why do you gotta complicate these descriptions, people? But, yeah, so, talking about this song is a bit weird. Like, yeah, it's a pretty straight, like, brief 2-minute recording. It's very, very synthetically drowned out production, but still trying to be like this pop-punk sort of thing. Very, very tongue-in-cheek, one that kind of reiterates the sentiment that we just said. The dance floor is dead, and, you know, going to rock music. And, you know, I'm not sure if discussing this is really even possible without falling into some kind of a trap, because, like we said, Charlie XCX is someone with a very strange presence, kind of an odd sense of humor, at times kind of rage-baiting, for lack of a better term. Like that's what this track almost kind of feels like. Like, something she wrote just to get a reaction out of people. Because, I mean, she already has, like, a lot of attention on her with, you know, The Moment and the Wuthering Heights soundtrack and all that. So, I guess, I don't know, see if some people get really pissy about her assessments on rock music. Which, I don't know, I mean, I guess if Gene Simmons ever notices and gets pissed off, then she will have done something right.
Okay, I'm not as down on this as most people seem to be, and I was trying to figure out why. It was either going to be, like, a statement of intent for future projects, either through feigned interest or sheer irony, or it was going to be just a piss take. Turns out it's swaying more towards the piss take, just an idea of her going, you know what? This is a really fun idea I've got. Hey, A.G. Cook, you want to do a hyperpop song that's about rock music, but it's not actually rock music? It's a 2-minute track. It's meant to be not serious. What do you want me to say? Like, do you want to talk about Bitch Summer? I don't. We don't.
No one does.
No. Like, this is a far, far, far cry from being, like, the worst thing she's ever done. Like, we know about Crash, okay? It wasn't terrible. It just wasn't great. It was just sort of there. Like, this, no. It's not that bad. It's not as bad as people are trying to make it out to be. Just chill out, folks, okay? Just chill out and just, you know, relax.
Yeah. The song is, it's fine enough for me. There you go. Like, I feel I have no strong feelings towards one way or the other. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. This is nice. And considering that my first 26 this year had been either the Wuthering Heights soundtrack and I guess the Mother Mary soundtrack, even though she's just the writer on that. I mean, well, yeah.
Yeah, so that takes care of the new song discussion. We are going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we are going to have a bit of news, so stay tuned. And we're back. We have 3 news topics here. The first one is part of a topic that's never really fun to discuss, and that is press layoffs. Very specifically, Sony, who owns like a subsidiary called The Orchard, has done some layoffs through some music news sites that they just so happen to know, and I didn't even know these sites technically fell under the purview of Sony. Learn something new every day. Specifically, these layoffs took place between the Blast Beat Network and the news websites Metal Injection and Metal Sucks. Apparently, at this point, there's only like one full-time employee left across all these properties, that being Frank Godla, one of the founders of Metal Injection. And yeah, that's kind of not great. I saw a lot of the writers and stuff venting across social media, like Greg Kenelty or Andrew Martins, better known as Hesher Keenan over at Metal Sucks. And yeah, this doesn't strike me as great.
No, this is very bad. Just scrolling through Metal Injection right now, I can only see like four writers on like the news page, which is that's a bad sign. Even worse is that Metal Sucks is kind of dead. Their last update was on May 1st.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's not good for anyone, because this is a very specific reason. We are not going back to Blabbermouth. Absolutely not.
Not Blabbermouth, not Loudwire, and of course the worst thing about this for me is that I know Metal Sucks in particular has a very contentious reputation on the internet, i.e. the most annoying right-wing metal chuds fucking despise this site. So of course a lot of the worst people you know are probably very happy about this happening. And if you want proof of that, I just made the mistake of scrolling through the comments section on the Mosh Network piece we're citing. And of course they're all like, oh, they're fucking liberals pushing political narratives by saying that transphobia is bad. Fucking Christ, these people. But, you know, I'm obviously gonna, like, if Metal Sucks does wind up going, like, tits up, I'm gonna miss them for a lot of reasons. Not the least of which was the absolutely amazing Threatened coverage back when Vince Neilstein was still part of the site.
Oh, that was a saga.
Simpler times. But, yeah, press losing their jobs is obviously never a great thing. But hopefully everybody can bounce back elsewhere. I mean, people are trying their best with more independent outlets, so whatever happens from here happens. And, you know, funnily enough, now that I think about it, I wonder if that's why, because I remember finding news articles about the announcements of the new Periphery album, but I don't think these sites ever actually posted when they released the singles. Like, I don't think I would have known about those singles releasing if it wasn't for Alex finding the links on YouTube.
Well, that's why I actually spent more time like on like Instagram scrolling through, because that's where I end up finding a lot of band album updates, through Instagram stories. This is a sign that we need to have a healthier section of music journalism going around here, and not Sony laying off people so they can do things that I'm not going to mention. We were all thinking it. We all know what they want to do. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's probably something that needs to be considered. But that's basically all we could say on that for now. So let's move on to the next story, which is still in the realm of metal, but also kind of an odd development. So apparently Dragon Force has decided to pick up a new vocalist, which is weird because, like, what, did Mark Hudson leave?
He's still in the band.
So this is just like, oh, we have two vocalists now going on sort of thing, I guess?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. I know, it's confusing and weird.
Okay, well, who's the new singer then?
If you can believe it, Alyssa Wyklus.
Wait, the singer from Arch Enemy?
The former singer of Arch Enemy, yes.
Huh. Former singer. Wait, like former, like she just left to join Dragon Force, or?
No, she left a little while ago. She formed her own solo band, and now she's doing this as well, though everything is still very much running at a frantic pace. I don't think anyone really knows what's actually going on other than the announcement of, hey, this is happening. And people going, oh, okay, that's cool. Apparently, they're going to do something. I mean, that's just my guess.
So from what I'm seeing, apparently this lineup just had their first performance at Welcome to Rockville this past weekend, and they're also going to be performing at a Sonic Temple this upcoming weekend. So, I don't know, maybe the Rockville set was pretty good? But, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens once Alyssa actually gets in the studio with a band on a proper recording. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And last topic we have here is a festival lineup, and that is for Austin City Limits, taking place across 2 weekends, October 2nd through the 4th, and October 9th through the 11th. And, of course, this is going to be at, Austin. Right there in the name. Yeah. Austin, Texas. So, we got, of course, the lineup and the poster here, and boy howdy, it's one of those posters that has absolutely no visual hierarchy whatsoever for what, I don't know why.
It's like, here you go, this, a date, fuck you, there you go.
Nope. All we have are identifiers for people who are playing on the first weekend, or on the second weekend, or presumably both. We're not really sure. It's very confusing.
Very. But let's try to sort through this as best we can. So, as far as your biggest headliners, you have the likes of Charlie XCX, Rufus Du Sol, 21 Pilots, Lord, Skrillex on Weekend 1, and Kings of Leon on Weekend 2, and the XX. Then, of course, diving a little bit deeper into things, we have Turnstile, Labyrinth, Lowly Young, the Chainsmokers, Geese, a performance which I'm sure will not inspire a lot of very asinine internet discourse. Young Miko, Bleachers, Sophie Tucker, Parcels, The War on Drugs, Leon Thomas, Brandon Flowers on Weekend 1, Blood Orange, Laika Lee, Levity, Max McNown, Suki Waterhouse. Wait, isn't that the protagonist of True Blood? Oh no, wait, that's Suki Stackhouse. Anyway, Emil and the Sniffers.
Okay.
Do I want to know what they're sniffing? Actually, no, I don't want to know. Sienna Spiro for Weekend 2. Snow Strippers. Really? You're stripping in the snow? Jesus Christ. That's a recipe for hypothermia. Cannons for Weekend 1. Steve Aoki, for some reason. Audrey Hobart. Jesse Wells. Bunt, period. It's Murph. Fake Mink. Palace for Weekend 1. Saint Motel. Houndmouth for Weekend 2. Fuckers, with the weird spelling. Bella K for Weekend 2. Yosuke Yukimatsu, with all of that spelling. Stella Lefty for Weekend 1. Paris Paloma. LP, Rosowski, Rodrigo y Gabriela, Natasha Bedingfield for Weekend 2. Wait, Natasha Bedingfield is still active?
You would be surprised how much distance Unwritten gets on pop radio.
Okay, but fair enough. Lazawo for Weekend 2. I'm sorry, Lazawo. That sounds like trying to say Lazarus, but in Uwu speak. Sky Newman, Balu Brigada, Claire Rosencrantz, Kingfisher for weekend two, Marlon Funaki for weekend one, Rochelle Jordan for weekend one, underscores for weekend one. Nice. Noga Erez, C-Matt, Rebecca Black for weekend one. I did like that last album of hers, even if it was Diet Brat, I guess. Arky Drive, RC Drive, Rio Costa, Finn Wolfhard, now that he's free from the vortex of Stranger Things, Josh Conway for weekend one, Ryan Beatty, Don West, Temper City, Ethan Reagan for weekend two, Charlotte Lawrence for weekend two, Bo Stalach for weekend one, Molly Santana for weekend one, Bad Nurse for weekend two, World Famous Pets for weekend two, Gabriel Jacoby for weekend two, Paloma Morphe, Sunday 1994. What's so special about Sunday in 94? Which Sunday? There's like 50 of them. Where was I? Hunks and His Punks for weekend one, Rum Jungle for weekend two, Calder Allen, Night Tapes, Fauzia, Fancy Hagood for weekend one, New Constellations for weekend one, Britain for weekend one, Soldia for weekend one, Villanelle for weekend one, Kevin Atwater for weekend two, Thomas Day for weekend two, Asleep at the Wheel for weekend one, DJ Cassandra for weekend one, Cassandra Coleman for weekend two.
I'm not the same.
Are they going to collaborate on a project called DJ Cassandra Coleman? These are the things I think about sometimes. Actually, that's a lie. I've never heard of these people. S.G. Goodman for weekend two. Bridget Calls Me Baby for weekend two. Dallas Wax for weekend two. Cure for Paranoia for weekend one. Night Traveler for weekend one. A Grocery Bag, like the one they were rapping about at Bedrock, for weekend one. Nat Myers for weekend two. Joe Jordan for weekend two. No relation to the other JoJo's. Chloe Keisha for weekend two. Happy Landing for weekend two. Aaron Rowe for weekend one. Fi Lacey for weekend one. Lawrence Anderson for weekend one. Vwills for weekend two. Sasha Keeble for weekend two. Emma Ogier for weekend one. Common People for weekend two. Coleman Jennings for weekend one. Girlfriend weekend two. Izzy Escobar weekend one. L. Coase for weekend one. Damaris Bajor for weekend two. Rubio weekend one. Wait a second. When you say Rubio, is that just like some person named Rubio? Or is this going to imply something like a DJ set from Marco Rubio?
What?
Don't even put that thought into the ether.
Listen, it is a thing that unfortunately has happened. Because reality is just glitching out everywhere.
Oh, God, Florida's getting messier than I thought.
And how? Chelsea Jordan for weekend two. Mars with two Z's for weekend two. Fight Master for weekend one. Lovey for weekend two. Montclair for weekend two. Almost Heaven for weekend two. Left Lucid for weekend one. Solomon Hicks for weekend one. Leon Knight for weekend two. Presley Regier for weekend two. The 4411 for weekend one. The Mariah Sisters for weekend one. The Hudson Tillotson University Jazz Collective for weekend two. And more.
This tells me none of this is actually ready for a proper schedule.
And
you know, we say this a lot with the lineups on the show, but I have never meant it more than I have in this moment.
Who are you people? Like,
God, I probably could have cut that list off like halfway through and we still would have been like, yeah, that's basically about it.
Like, what are these, like,
there's more.
This is,
like, both of these names are like, who the fuck is he? Like, who is my name? Girlfriend? Who's my name? Fucking there's DJ Cassandra and Cassandra Coleman. Are they the same person? Like, are they dual identities? It's like a fucking Hannah Montana situation. It's like, except like this, I don't know.
I mean, lineups like this are kind of par for the course for Austin City Limits. They tend to cater more towards, you know, the deeper indie crowd.
Yeah, you can say that, right? Considering well, names here is like, yeah, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of stuff that a lot of the bright people would get into, because, well, the only people I've seen that are, well, same as me, are Leon Thomas and Blood Orange. And okay, also Labyrinth too. Is he needs something, considering I think he just said fuck off the Euphoria.
Hopefully the first of many to do so.
And how. But yeah, there's your lineup. If there's more, I don't know, get someone else to read it. We wasted our breath already. But until, you know, some other festival lineup comes up, that is the news for this past week, and that just leaves one more thing to do before the sign-off, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of May 15th, 2026. Of course, starting right up at the top, we have the much-anticipated new album from Periphery with A Pale White Dot. Then moving on, what do you mean All-American Rejects still make music? That's fake. That's a psyop. There's no way they have an album coming out this weekend called Sandbox. Anyway, next up, here's one that apparently completely escaped my notice. We're getting new Genesis Owusu this year, and I'm only now finding out.
Okay.
You music blogs need to do your fucking job. I didn't see shit from y'all about this. But, yes, Genesis Owusu with a new album this weekend called Red Star Woo and the Worldwide Scourge.
Okay, that sounds exciting. The title sounds like Red Star Woo. That sounds fresh. I like it.
Then we have a new album from the Spanish artist Maluma with Loco Ex Volver. And last, and definitely least, we might have a new Drake album called Iceman.
Why?
They call it Iceman because it's going to melt into vapor as soon as it releases.
If this thing makes some noise, it'll be another, you know, no more album bomb if it happens.
Just go the way of the Toronto Maple Leafs and tank already.
Yeah. And people are saying that, oh, just gonna save hip hop. Shut the fuck up. Ugh. You see that shit? It sounds like, oh, hip hop needs Drake. No, the fuck it doesn't.
Wait, who the hell is arguing that in 2026? Who's saying Drake is gonna save hip hop? I want names.
I got names, but I assume it's a bunch of dumbass streamers that think they like rap, but they like Drake more than rap.
Oh, so 15-year-old white girls on TikTok, El Pollo Loco, and Edgy Academics. Got it.
and white dudes too. Let's be honest.
White people, you deserve so much better than this slop.
And how? Anyway, now it's time to clean the house and get the hell out of here. Alex, his stuff is in the description. You know where to find him. Mark, what about you?
Okay, one Blue Sky Method of Media and my site, my hype1.com. I ain't done shit lately. There you go. Some might have to soon. No.
Cool. And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@surrealresolutions.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the website on Blue Sky as well, at surrealresolution.bluesky. And visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And of course, be sure to find the link to the Discord chat so you can be immediately notified when anything goes up on the site. And be sure to discuss a myriad of things to your heart's content. Anyway, that'll about do it for this week. Hopefully, we'll be back next week with more of the usual hijinks and shenanigans. And until next time, what's with all the sodas being dirty now? Someone's got to call health inspector about that.
Go away, Mormons. We don't want you here.